Hogue and John Burton Show. Call now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. Now, here's Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
Good Monday morning to you. How are you doing? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. A lot to get to this morning. Greg Vogue, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Crazy Charlie out again. Ray Dosky, Adam Johnson in, making sure we behave. John, hey, man, I go to bed and I see you in Indy, and then I wake up and I see you in our studio in Nashville, man.
Where am I?
You're everywhere.
What's going on right now?
I'm not kidding.
I don't know where I am. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. But, yeah, got it. Excuse me. I was in Indy yesterday for the game. Got in... drove back, got in pretty late or early this morning, so slept fast, and here I am. Good morning. Happy Monday.
You know my joke was, this way. Yeah. You got home about the same time you usually get home.
But he's here all week, folks.
Maybe. Hey, by the way, we're not here tomorrow.
I know.
Can you believe, listen, I know we got a lot to get to, okay?
Yeah.
Obviously,
busy day today.
Titans, Derek Mason, Nashville SC, you know, man, what could have been. But tomorrow morning, for the first time, I've done morning radio, either morning or mid-morning,
right,
20-some-plus years in this city.
This is going to be a first.
Yeah. Now, we've been preempted by the SEC baseball tournament. You know, those first
SEC
games.
SEC women's basketball, right?
Maybe, or yeah, probably, early like that, because we have those games. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning, we will be preempted by a college football game.
A live, as it's happening, college football game in the morning.
On CBS Sports Network, if you want to watch it.
Yeah.
Pre-game at 8:30, kickoff at 9:30, WKU at Charlotte. And if anything screams 2020, that does.
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
Yeah, you're right. And as of now, there's going to be a NFL game tomorrow night.
Yeah. Yeah, Steelers-Ravens.
Steelers-Ravens.
And then MTSU will be playing UAB, a game they didn't even have on their schedule, Sunday at home. So, crazy, crazy times. So, good, you know, it was good. I was watching you up there last night, and here you are this morning. So, I tell you what, about as impressively a solid win.
Yep.
They scored touchdowns on five of their first six possessions. The defense, of course, when you're having to play behind, they really, I thought, got after Phillip Rivers much more aggressive than they were, you know, 17 days earlier. Just a good win.
Well, here's a stat for you. I don't know if you have it on your little yellow notepad there. Well,
you keep making fun of me.
But, you know how hard I've been on this defense.
Yep.
And I've killed him.
Yep.
But I got to give him props. Because in the Colts' first two possessions, they gained 136 yards. For the rest of the game after that, they gained a total of 200 yards. Or they netted a total of 200 yards. So that's impressive. That's how you play defense. And you're right. This was a thorough, all three phases, outstanding performance. And if the Titans play like this, there ain't anybody in this league they can't beat.
No, and I'm going to tell you what, because it was like a...
And that includes Kansas City, that includes Pittsburgh. I don't care who you line up in front of them. If they can run the ball the way they did, if they can play defense the way they did, get after the quarterback, get off the field, they plastered receivers, they put pressure on Phillip Rivers. Obviously, you know, they ran the ball. Obviously, you know, Tannehill was efficient. You know, big plays from A.J. Brown and Corey Davis who are really forming that 1-2 punch. They got contributions from everybody. If they play like this, they're as good as any team in the National Football League, and they can, you know, they can go as far as they want if they can play like this consistently.
And they got a huge weapon back with Brett Kern. The first two possessions of each team, touchdown. So who's going to hold serve? Finally, the Titans on the fifth possession of the game, where, as I mentioned, the first four possessions two each way had resulted in touchdowns, he puts that ball at the 10. Mm-hmm. He flips the field. Titans take advantage of, score the touchdown. And then from there,
it was
they were in control.
Yep. Yep, and once they took control, there was nothing the Colts could do. Now, listen, the Colts were missing a lot of key players, especially on the defensive line, not having Buckner. But, man, I mean, it was like the old Dallas Cowboys days with Emmitt Smith, where he's not getting touched until he's 3, 4, 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. And with Derrick Henry's height and size, you hit him 3 or 4 yards, you know, you don't lay a hand on him until he's a few yards past the line of scrimmage, he's going to fall forward for another 2 or 3 yards. So he was making what looked like just a routine run. You look up at 6 yards, it's 2nd and 4. I mean, that is controlling the line of scrimmage. I thought Quisenberry did a great job in his first NFL start at LT. I mean, you know, things that didn't show up in the stat sheet. Blassen game had a great game lead blocking. I mean, this was a thorough, thorough performance by the Tennessee Titans. One of the best I've seen in a long time, you know, in terms of like all three phases, like I said. Just, I mean, it was as close to flawless as you could have. And so I was very impressed by what I saw yesterday. And so, you know, that little midseason lull, they're obviously over that. Got the Browns coming in on Sunday. We got all week to talk. Well, not tomorrow, but we got, you know, all week to talk about that. They're 8-3 as well. But, you know, they barely got out of Dodge against Jacksonville yesterday. But I was very impressed by what I saw because, you know, I just want to put it out there because Dane called me out on Friday and said, oh, you're drinking Haterade, and, you know, because I, you know, dare not pick the beloved home team to win. But, yeah, that was impressive yesterday.
Yeah, I think I took the Titans plus the points.
I took the Colts.
Yeah, but not believing that it was a field goal game either way.
Well, I thought it would be a close game, but, yeah, but this was just thorough domination. You thought it was going to be, you know, one of those – you know, old-fashioned shootouts, because like you said, the first four possessions, you know, they combined for 4 touchdowns. I'm like, oh, man, here we go. But, man, once the Titans settled in, got a couple defensive stops, the Colts were helpless. And you could see their body language being in the stadium yesterday. You could see their defensive body language. You know, when you get that, you know, that big offensive line and that big running back just leaning on you, there's nothing you can do to stop it. There's no better feeling for an offensive team, especially offensive linemen, when you're running the football and the other team knows you're running and they can't stop it. And that's what we saw yesterday, among a lot of other things. I thought Tannehill was brilliant.
Yep.
You know, I thought, you know, I mean, Vrabel was feeling it yesterday when he pulls the offense back onto the field and decides not to punt and goes for it on 4th and 4.
Well, he didn't feel it the first 3 plays of that possession.
Yeah, that was
thinking,
weird.
What are you doing?
The play calling on that
run,
was
run, pass, yep. You know, yep. And punt?
And maybe he just got ticked off, like, hey, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, let's go for the jugular. And so, I mean, you know, Derrick Henry, 140 yards and 3 touchdown runs in the first half. I mean, that was impressive. Like I said, this is you want to be playing your best ball as the calendar flips from November to December, and you want to, you know, go into the playoffs with some momentum. And listen, they're back in front in the division. And that's been a big thing for the Titans this offseason, based on what happened last year, having to go on the road 3 weeks in a row in the playoffs, and it finally caught up to them in the Kansas City game. Vrabel said it. We got to win our division, and we got to start getting some home games, playoff home games at Nissan Stadium. Well, if the season ended today, that's what you'd have.
Certainly, just looking down a few things, Tannehill, 13 of 22, 221 yards, solid, made the plays.
Yep.
A.J. Brown, the week before, showed his power. Yesterday, showed his speed. Had a little fun with that onside kick touchdown to just for the icing on the cake there. But as you mentioned, 35 points in the first half. And, you know, I've been thinking all week about our friend Sal, how he had given up on Arthur Smith, which I didn't even agree from last week because I thought the play calling in that second half was really ingenious. But anyway, at halftime, did I see the stat that in total offense for the Titans, 179 rushing, 179 passing?
Yep.
Is that, or 170? Yep. It was exactly equal.
Yep.
In that first half.
That's about as balanced as you want to be. You know, that's about as good as it gets in terms of balance. So, yeah, I mean, just a solid performance. And, you know, like I said, the Colts were missing a lot of key players due to COVID, injury, whatever. But that's not the Titans' problem. You know, that was still going to be what we thought was going to be a tough road game within the division. So,
but certainly not having DeForest Buckner up the middle there. And
you could tell how frustrated Darius Leonard was getting. I mean, he was trying his best to pump up his defense and trying to get his guys going. And, you know, and it just just didn't work yesterday, you know?
No, 35 points in the first half. That's the most scored by an NFL team this year in the first half. Derrick Henry, 27-178, 140-3 in the first half, three touchdowns. I like this stat. This is the eighth straight road game.
Yep.
He's gone over 100 yards.
Yep.
That means you're going on the road and you're getting what you want done by, you know, by carrying the football and setting up the play action.
And what do we always say? A good running game travels, right? It works in my stadium, works in your stadium, works in a dome, works outside in the elements, you know, works, with our crowd cheering for us, or works with your crowd cheering against us. It doesn't matter when guys can get off the blocks or get off the line of scrimmage and dominate, and you have just a hammer like Derrick Henry that you can continue to pound. And I mean, the guy's an alien; he never gets tired. So you know he's built for this, as they say. So yeah, you know, you still got to run the football in this league. I know it's become a passing league with the shotgun and the 4-5 wide. And, you know, we love Patty Mahomes. We love watching him. We love watching Aaron Rodgers and all these great, great quarterbacks we have in our league. But at the end of the day, you still got to run the football and play defense.
You're getting 10 yards a carry. I mean, yeah. And you mentioned now in the, he went over, Derrick Henry went over 5,000 yards. He's behind Eddie, Earl, and CJ in the all time. He's on pace. For 1830 something. I think he would, if he gets out of pace over what these last five games, he would, you know, go over. He's right. He's thinking about 2000, but then again, it's going to be more difficult.
He's going to have one more Houston
like
game.
Like a 220, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Because you hope that you don't need him in that last game.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, anyway, a lot to get to there. We'll obviously get to your phone calls, go around the NFL. West End, big news coming out yesterday afternoon. Vanderbilt fires Derek Mason. He was 0-8. Just got blown out at Missouri 41-0. He was 27-55. You know, his 27 wins makes him the sixth winningest coach in program history. Just laughing at that. But certainly we want to talk about the Sarah Fuller, the first female FBS, SCS to play. But I was surprised. I didn't think they would fire Derek Mason. I didn't think that they would fire him if they were going to until after the season.
I agree
was
with
over.
That. If they were going to do it, I didn't think they were going to do it with games left to play in the season.
I don't know what that looks about.
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, Vanderbilt got kind of dealt a tough hand. They were supposed to host Tennessee this weekend, which I really felt like they had a shot to win. And instead, the SEC stepped in on, I think it was Monday, last Monday, a week ago today, and said, nope, we're going to make up that game at Missouri. So you're going to Missouri. You're not going to host Tennessee. And it was clear they were not ready. And it was clear that, you know, you know, I think they were let down a little bit because you always get up to play your rival no matter what your record is. And I think it showed on the field because they were listless. They were lackluster. They you know, obviously defensively, they were pitiful. Offensively, they couldn't move the ball consistently. And, you know, who knows what was said or what was felt behind the scenes. But, you know, we talked about it all really summer into the season that we felt like there was a good chance that Vanderbilt would say, listen, you know, it's COVID-19. You had a lot of opt-outs. You know, you're dealt a tough hand with the schedule. You know, we'll keep you another year. But, you know, look, 7 years, couple non-losing seasons, right? Couple 6-6s in there, I think.
Yeah, 6-7s with the bowl losses.
Right, yeah.
Never had a winning season.
Right, exactly. Yeah, never finished with a winning record. You're right. You know, but a couple bowl appearances, but what you're saying all the time, you know, you're fighting a bear with a switch. I always say bringing a knife to a gunfight. That was Derek Mason's tenure for 7 years. And after the success that James Franklin had, you know, the bar was kind of raised a little bit. And, you know me, I love Mason to death. I think the world of him, both as a football coach and a human being. I thought he fought the good fight. I thought he always put his best face forward. He always exuded positivity with the program. But, you know, this is the SEC, and Vanderbilt has to decide, are we going to be a player? Are we going to make the necessary changes, upgrades, you know, find the type of coach that can recruit the type of players that can compete in this league? Or is it just going to be something that we do on Saturdays while we're you know, relaxing in our study of you know, academia in our library.
Yeah, I thought, you know, maybe pulling the trigger, and it really doesn't make any difference now, although you are in recruiting season for the early recruiting period, but who's, you know, who's going to come to a, you don't even know who the head coach is and some of the names. But the thing is, here's where I think that they think, and that would be the new chancellor and certainly Candace Lee, is that if we're sitting here this time next year, will it be any better?
Right.
And if it's not,
right,
you gotta pull the trigger now.
No, you're right. You gotta have that long talk with yourself and say, all right, you know, is this, do we realistically believe that we can get significantly better in a year's time? You make a great point, Greg. I agree with you 100%. If the answer is no, then basically maybe they were just like, well, then what the heck are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know? And so, like I said, Mace is a good person. He's a good coach. He'll land on his feet. I have no doubt about that. Whether he's an assistant somewhere or he gets maybe an opportunity to head coach, maybe at you know, maybe at a group of five place, or you know, a Division IIA or whatever they're calling it these days, FCS, whatever. If he wants to coach, he'll get a job.
Oh,
if I were him, though, man, I'd probably take a year off, kick my feet up, and
We don't know what his bike, because it's a private. He was reportedly, the last thing we found out was his tax return. The school's tax return, he was making 3.5. There's a buyout in there. And once again, I mean, Vanderbilt, I've always said it, it's selective poverty. When they want to, when they want to stroke a check for anything, they got the money. Okay. And we'll get to, who the possibilities are to replace him. You know, whose names come up. Jeff Fisher. I'm just saying. We got Chris Lee of Vandy.
That came up over the summer.
Yeah. I know Chris Lee, Vandy Sports, will join us in about 5 minutes, talk about everything that went into this, and then certainly Teresa Walker at 10:25, her usually Monday spot. Columbus Crew last night in extra time. The Nashville SC season ends 2-0. You know, the Crew went into that game down some players, 7 positive tests, but it just – both teams back and forth, back and forth. Really, neither one could break through until the extra time, and then
kind of like the Toronto game. Then
what a great season though for Nashville SC.
Unfortunately, I was traveling, didn't see any of the game. You know, read a little bit about it this morning right before we came on the air. And look, man, you know, after the the win over Inter Miami, they were playing with house money, and for them to beat a Toronto side that, you know, we talked about it. They'd been to the conference finals 3 of the previous 4 years. They were the runner-up last year in the MLS Cup final. You know, to win that game and to be highly competitive in this game, as it sounds like they were, you're right, the sky's the limit for Nashville SC. And, you know, you kind of trust the organization's going to make the right moves this offseason to make this team even better. And so, yeah, with everything they went through, I would say this first year in the MLS for SC, excuse me, I got to phlegm out.
You just say I got to clear my voice if you want to.
I like saying phlegm out.
Okay, good.
Was a rousing success there. I'm done.
put that on a cracker for you. Okay. My God. All right, that gets us going. Hey, Kim McDonald, Green Property Brokers Incorporated, is on the air asking listeners to help a child in need this holiday season and consider donating to Toys for Tots. What a great charity. Go to your local USMC drop box to donate and put a smile on a child's face this holiday. This message brought to you by Kim McDonald, Green Property Brokers Incorporated, for all your buying or renting needs. Call 615-397-3206. 615-397-3206. With 16 years of experience, that's Kim McDonald and Green Property Brokers. Going to get to your phone call sometime this morning, we promise.
Real quick, Candace Lee will meet the media this afternoon at 1:30.
Okay, tell her I said hi.
All right.
She needs to be made
available. Good. You know, obviously to discuss the coaching change and all that.
You don't need to have the bunker mentality today on this one.
No.
All right.
Get out in front of it.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Hey, but coming up after the break, we'll talk about it with VandySports.com, Chris Lee.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SurfSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SurfSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast for this morning. Look for a wind advisory and showers with a high of 68. Chance of showers tonight, low 46. Mostly sunny on Thanksgiving with a high of 61. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 41. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Sky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Craig Pug, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Crazy Charlie with a morning off. Ray Dosky producing.
Ray Dosky.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's to Ray Dosky.
Lord.
Have you seen that skit on SNL?
Yes, you've asked me that, and I've said yes every time. But it's who does
it? I wasn't listening.
I know.
Alec Baldwin and you know, a couple cast members. It's a funny skit.
Well, news off West End yesterday, Vanderbilt firing Derek Mason. You know, you look 27-55, and which still made him the sixth winningest coach in program history. It's sort of a comment there. But and we talked about, well, does he have this or that? Well, let's find out right now. Chris Lee, VandySports.com. Good morning, Chris. How you doing, man?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning to you guys.
Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Two things. One, I was surprised. And even further, was I surprised that they didn't wait till the end of the season to do it. Just your initial reaction when the news came out yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I've been given a tip that they might move on within the week. And I've been hearing for probably a month now that the chancellor had wanted to move on. And that Candace Lee had, too. But it's one thing to hear that. And I've more often than not, you know, it takes some things to get a coach fired at Vandy, and you might have ideas about getting a guy gone, but when there's big money involved and things like that, that's another thing. And plus, doing it during the season is something that Vanderbilt doesn't usually do, but I'll have to give Vanderbilt credit, and this is nothing against Derek Mason, but I think everybody knew that it was time to move on. They needed some energy. They needed to give somebody else a chance, and I think their timing was great because I think you need to get a jump on the coaching search. There'll be other vacancies. I guess they're lying behind South Carolina, and I can't think of who else is open. But I think especially with the new signing day timeline, I think the timing was great, and I think Vanderbilt made the right move at the right time.
How much do you think just the way they lost at Missouri over the weekend. They just look listless. I know they were kind of dealt a tough hand. You know, you're getting ready to host your rival. Instead, the SEC steps in and says, no, you're going to Missouri to make this game up. But, boy, they look like they never even got off the plane in that game. How much do you think maybe that led to, all right, now's the time?
Yeah, I don't think that effort helped him. The other things brought the attention to that game. And I think Dana O'Neill tweeted this very well. She said something along the lines of, now I can see how tough Vanderbilt fans have it. And I think that game really put that program in the spotlight, at least for that aspect, for the wrong reason. You know, it was a crazy week with the kicking sideshow. You know, and here's another thing, guys. This is my favorite stat of the college football season, if you want to call it a stat. Vanderbilt and Missouri were scheduled to play four times over four separate months. and of course, they landed on that one. I mean, it was a crazy week. It was a crazy time. You know, they really hadn't played well a lot this season, but it played well lately, played better. But I think when you're 0-8 and, you know, another one coming this week and they're not going to go to Georgia and pull the upset, at some point you've got to move in and do what's right. And again, I think this was the right thing.
Chris Lee with us, VandySports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at ChrisLee70. You mentioned it, sort of the yin and the yang of it was how much national attention that Sarah Fuller got for being the first woman FBS, SEC, to participate in a game with the kickoff of the second half. And I don't think that played into it one way or the other. You used the word sideshow, which a lot of people might think that it is that, but I think there's also a lot to celebrate there too.
Well, yeah, yes and no. I don't think people would have had a problem with it if it was a legitimate kicking competition, but it wasn't. There were several players who wanted to kick, who asked to kick, including one who was training to kick and had plenty of other kicking experience. I'll leave it at that, but it's not hard to maybe make an inference from that.
No, you don't need to see. Just don't say it, Chris, but you just did, okay?
Yeah, right. Anyway, the kicking competition was shut down early in the week. Kids who wanted a shot were not given a shot, were told they were needed elsewhere. I don't know. She just didn't get a lot of practice. She sat out Tuesday. The report from practice that I got on Wednesday on kickoffs and field goals was dreadful. And then Thursday, she's supposed to be practicing, and they take her out for a photo shoot. Now, look, I think it's one thing if she goes and is working out with the team and there's a competition that's legitimately won. I think it's another thing if it goes down like that. They didn't even practice her on kickoffs at Missouri. I don't know the reason, but I think the reason is, from what I've heard, that the kickoffs in the game look a lot like the one in practice. So with that said, you know, you've got to convince your football team that whoever is in that position, gives you the best shot to win. And I will just say with confidence, after talking to several people, that was not the impression that, he left the team and you saw the outcome.
Did it play into the decision?
You know, I don't think
that was a pregnant pause.
Well, I honestly, I don't know how to answer it. Sure. I will say this, okay? The performance was dreadful. I've given you background on why, on reason I don't think the team showed up Saturday.
Right.
So indirectly, I think it might have. And look, no, they weren't going to make this decision on one game, right?
Right.
I think this decision was probably made weeks ago. You have to deal with timing and things. Sometimes you know what you're going to do, and you need to wait for the right moment. And when your team goes and lays an egg and gives up 600-and-something yards and gets shut out 41-0, and, oh, by the way, you gain, what, 195 yards of total offense, and it comes on the heels where you had 4 weeks of 400 yards or more total offense, which they hadn't done in 16 years. You know, again, I think they were going to do it anyway. I don't think the optics of how badly they played in front of a lot of eyes helped, and I think it gave them cover to do what they were going to do anyway.
Chris, when you look back at Derek Mason's, you know, legacy at Vanderbilt, obviously James Franklin kind of raised the bar of expectations with the success he had. He left for greener pastures, and we certainly understand why. But knowing what we know now, you know, based on Mason's tenure, were those expectations for him fair? Did he get, you know, enough support from the university to field competitive teams year in and year out at Vandy, in your mind?
The answer to the last part is an emphatic no. Mm-hmm. I think it was the right move, right?
Yep.
And look, let's be honest. Derek made, what, $20 million in his career there, give or take a few. So I have a hard time feeling sorry for him in that respect. He also got 7 years. The list of coaches who get seven losing seasons at a Power 5 school is almost non-existent. You can count it on one hand. And it comes at a time where a coach showed that you can win there if you're very good, despite the circumstances. Now, having said that, things were not as easy for Mason in some ways as they were from Franklin from day one. In some ways, they were easier because you had established that you can win at Vanderbilt. He got the indoor practice facility, but also the climate around the school in terms of football after the Brandon Vandenberg scandal. It made it a whole lot more difficult to get stuff done. So do I think Derek got a fair shake in terms of facilities and support? No, I don't. I think there were so many broken promises that he was given that I think in turn they turned around and made to kids, which creates a problem when you get your recruits to campus, I think. And this is speculative, right? But if you're a coach – in a living room, and you're telling parents and kids, hey, we've got new facilities coming, and then it's year four, and the kids are going, okay, I was promised this, where is it? And I don't think Derek was lying. I think he was given stuff in good faith that did not materialize. That's indefensible if you're Vanderbilt. Do I think that Derek was the right guy for the job? No. Mm-hmm. I think that the parts of things that Derek could have taken care of, in terms of organization and just things like that. I just don't think he is a Power 5 head coach, which is not a bad thing, right? I mean, I'm not a Power 5 head coach. I know a lot of smart football coaches that are not Power 5 head coaches. There's a reason those guys get paid so much money. I think Derek was more of an assistant or coordinator who has got a very good track record in that. But if you're going to be a head coach, you're going to succeed, and especially at a place like Vanderbilt, you've got to be on top of absolutely everything. And you see the guys who have won, it's been guys like Tim Corbin and James Franklin, and that's who those guys are to a T, right? I mean, those guys barely sleep. I think it takes a different type of animal to win at Vanderbilt under the conditions that he had, and I just don't think Derek was the guy. I think even with Stuff, I think Derek would have probably eked out some winning seasons, but I just think from an organizational and leadership standpoint, I just don't think that even with the right stuff, it was ever going to happen for him in a big way. Could he have won more games with more help? Of course. But I don't think that the ceiling was super high and under any condition.
Chris Lee, VandySports.com. All right. What does this say about the new chancellor? What does this say about Candace Lee that they make a, really, quite frankly, a strong move? I think it, you know, everything we can all sit here and say, hey, it's the right move, but still to say what should be and then they go ahead and do it
right
now. If I'm a Vanderbilt fan, whether you like the decision or not, it shows a bit of encouragement that they are going to be able to make tough decisions when it comes to their football program.
Yeah, and Candace Lee is supposed to talk later this afternoon. If you are advising her, Chris, as to what to say, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions about the future of the program vis-a-vis facilities, vis-a-vis, you know, the search for a new head coach, what would you advise her to say? How should she approach this when she meets the media later?
I think if she's got something she can come out with facilities, she either needs to come out with it or she needs to say, we're going to be coming out with it on X date or X week.
Mm-hmm.
If she can possibly do it, I think that would help. I think people are tired of hearing about stuff around the corner and never following through. I think that would be a great step if they could do it. You know, I think leaving the impression that it's going to be a national search and that they've already done their diligence on some candidates is going to be helpful. I would presume that if they fired a coach with 2 weeks left in the season and had plotted this out for a while, it would have to follow that you got a plan from there. You've already started vetting some names and talking to agents and things like that. So I think in a way, the fact that they acted when they did, at least gives the impression that they have already maybe done some due diligence. Because again, firing a coach in the middle of the season is not really a Vanderbilt-like move. So we can talk about all the what they're going to do and all the broken promises. But at least for a day, you can say there's a little bit of a sign that it's new Vandy, because they did something that Vandy doesn't normally do. It probably wasn't a cheap move, by the way. I'm sure that Derek Mason is going to be getting checks to total several million dollars from here on out. So I would just advise her to do everything that she can to give us what is tangible, and lay out a convincing vision that this is going to be different, because I think that's a skepticism that everybody has for good reason.
All right, you've seen the list of candidates, and they're all over the map. Give me four or five that you think are legitimate.
I've been doing my homework on this for a while. I'm going to give you three candidates, and I would say I would take one of these three versus the field. And depending on who you talk to, I've heard any of these people think are the favorite. I think we're all speculating at this point. I would be surprised, maybe not shocked, but surprised, if it didn't come down to either Clark Lee, who's the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, who played at Vanderbilt as a walk-on football player, and his family, his dad, I believe, also has got a Vanderbilt degree, and they're very tied into the school. Will Healy at Charlotte, obviously, has coached at Austin Peay, has got Vanderbilt ties. His uncle, Chip Healy, played there. I believe he grew up a Vanderbilt fan as well. And then the other one, this surprised me a bit, but there is something to Jamie Chadwell wanting the job at Coastal Carolina, from what I understand. Those are the candidates that come to the top of the list when I ask people. I think we were all speculating, but I think all three of those guys want the job. I think you could make a pretty compelling case for all three. I'm sure they will interview people outside of that pool, and they should, because you never know who you could get who could surprise you or who might surprise you in an interview. But I think that if you say, name me the top candidates, to me it's pretty hard to name somebody outside of those three right now.
Go ahead and put the Jeff Fisher thing to bed if you want to.
Well, and I've taken a lot of heat for putting that one on my hot board, right? But the point I've tried to make is I didn't make that board as a way to throw spaghetti against the wall. there's something to each of those names. And maybe you can say, well, Vanderbilt's not going to consider Jeff Fisher. And maybe it's not. Maybe that's right. I do know that Jeff has done a lot of lobbying for that job. He made sure that when Malcolm Turner was there, that Malcolm Turner became very familiar to him. Jeff was going to basketball games at Memorial Gym last year in an attempt to network and meet people. Jeff has made friends with some very prominent alums, boosters, names of players that you would know. Jeff has been doing his diligence a while in hopes that he will get this job, which he really, really wants. Now, again, is Vanderbilt going to consider him? I don't know. He may get an interview. He may not. But that name was not just thrown out there because it's Jeff Fisher and it's national. I know that he really wants that job.
Chris Lee, VandySports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at ChrisLee70. Thank you, man. I always
great
appreciate
stuff,
it,
Chris.
Man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. 615-844-5600.
Go back and listen to that interview, folks, if you missed any part of it. That was some good, solid info. Good guesting by you there, Greg.
Well, we got to go, you don't want to bury the lead, right?
Yep.
And certainly the Titans and Vanderbilt certainly co-sharing that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you call us, 615-844-5600.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel. Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu beef. Bob's Steak and Chop House is ready to host your private holiday parties and get-togethers. And if you need a stocking stuffer, there's no better gift than a Bob's Steak and Chop House gift card. To book your private holiday party, call 615-761-3707. Located downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Bob's Steak and Chop House.
When the coronavirus struck your community, what if you had no soap, masks, food, medical care? This is the reality for the world's most vulnerable people. But there's hope. Children International is helping provide children and families in poverty with the critical essentials they need to survive. Things like food assistance, hygiene education, medical help, and financial aid. To learn how you can help, go to children.org/help today.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The spread of COVID-19 is still unchecked across the nation, and you need to keep your family safe. Make a new habit and check your temperatures twice a day, once before dinner and before leaving home in the morning. You can't afford to take chances, so use the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Its accuracy is backed by more than 80 clinical studies, and it takes an accurate reading in seconds. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses. Quick and easy to use, you can count on Exergen to keep your family safe 24 hours a day.
It's a Bill King Show.
I have this aversion to either the media or anybody else telling people what they ought to be doing with their money. Maybe in this case it's just me versus the planet Earth. But I'm not going to tell those coaches at Tennessee or any other school, here's what you ought to be doing with your money.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Sports
Radio, WNSR. Eagleview Roofing and Contracting are reminding listeners that the holiday season is here, and there are countless needy and underprivileged children right here in our own community who won't be receiving a gift, so be a guardian angel and help a child in need. You can donate a gift at your local USMC drop box today. This message brought to you by veteran-owned Eagle View Roofing and Contracting. Give the pros a call today at 615-426-4369. 615-426-4369. They're people who care, and yeah, this is the time of the year. Take care of kids, man. Food.
Absolutely.
Food and kids.
Kids and just people that are less fortunate than we are. That's the important thing. This is you're supposed to do it all year, but this is the season where you really need to go out of your way to do it.
All right. Phone lines are full. Let's get to them. Dane, good morning.
Dane! Did you hear all the good things I said about the Titans this morning, Dane?
I did hear.
You accused me of drinking hater juice on Friday, so I just wanted
Haterade, man. Haterade. Well, man, you redeemed yourself. But
thanks.
But more importantly, it seems like the Titans are redeeming themselves. You know, they played pretty good yesterday. But I'm calling this morning because Greg, you know, whenever the Jeff Fisher's name first came up for the Vanderbilt job, I mean, you said something interesting. It was way back, you know.
He did?
When did that happen? A year ago? A year and a half ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's been sort of hovering there after this past Vanderbilt year, yeah.
Well, but you said an interesting thing, and I believe it to be true, and it stuck with me. I think Jeff Fisher is a guy that could walk into the SEC meetings and steal Saban's thunder. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, to a point. Yeah, then we need
to win.
Yeah, you got to win. Yeah. So, but yes, yeah, certainly but I mean, the notoriety of the notoriety of it is certainly there.
Right. The new car smell would be around for a while, but sooner or later he's got to win. Same thing, you know. You could say that about Lane Kiffin, about all these guys. You know, these personalities guys coming into the SEC to coach, right?
But I would like to. I think that Jeff Fisher could even make a bigger splash than Lane Kiffin. Initially.
I agree.
It'd be fun. I think it'd be a lot of fun to have him back coaching.
I would like to see it because, you watch the SEC network and it might as well be the Nick Saban channel.
Well, but the thing is, you're not going to win in this league. It doesn't really matter unless you get players, okay? Could Jeff Fisher get players? Well, I think a lot of people would look at Vanderbilt because of him that would never look at them. Now, that doesn't mean he can get them.
Yeah, but a lot I think of these gets kids, Greg, the weren't even born yet when he was having success in the NFL with the Titans. But I see what you're saying, though. He's got the stroke. He's got the personality.
Well, I mean, there's nobody on this list that really it turns anybody's heads, quite
right.
frankly.
Will Healy, maybe.
He might be able to get a few players, because they're always talking about the academics at Vanderbilt. Well, the academics at USC are, a little bit high. So he might be able to go into a living room and get that smart athlete to come to Vanderbilt. I don't know, but it'd just be interesting to watch.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Dane.
All right. See you.
Let's get Clay before the break, and then, Eric, you're going to have your own segment. Clay, good morning.
All right. We'll talk about this more later in the week, maybe. Things may be kind of rushed today. I want to mention, y'all know I have two professional football teams I cheer for and one college team, correct?
Yes. Right.
So I want to back up to Thursday. Mike McCarthy, earlier in the year, chose not to kick a field goal to tie the game.
That was the Rams game, right? Against the Rams?
Opening game.
Yep.
Thursday, he chooses to go do a fake punt on his own 20-something yard line, 4th and 10.
I almost choked on my stuffing when I saw that.
I guess that's all I've got to say about my love for the Dallas Cowboys for this year. They're in last place in the worst division in the NFL.
You know who's in first place right now?
I hope that makes the Botox man happy where he sits today. He deserves it.
You know who's in first place right now in the NFC East?
The Giants are tied with the Redskins.
Well, the Giants own the tiebreaker because they beat the Washington football team twice. But go ahead.
I'm happy for you, JB.
Thank you.
The Titans, boys, I tried to tell you, they put a butt whooping on the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are now officially Fugazi.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, they were behind the eight ball a little bit. They were missing a bunch of key players, but yeah, that was thorough domination by the Titans. And they look like they're. I said this to start the show, did I not, Greg? They play like they did yesterday. There's nobody in this league they can't beat. Nobody.
I agree with you, JB. Now on to Derek Mason, boys. And I'll be quick, and we can talk about this at another day.
Sure.
I'll say this. Derek Mason is a friend of mine, okay? Do I talk to him on the telephone? No, I don't. But he knows from day one I supported him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep some conversations he and I had at his coach's show over the years to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Did Vanderbilt give him the support he deserved? No, they did not, in my opinion. Let me ask you guys a question. Let's back up when Derek Mason was the defensive coordinator at Stanford. Those 2 years he completely shut down Oregon's offense. What was Oregon ranked back in those days?
They were top five, right, Greg?
Yeah, and he was doing it with a pretty dang good defensive players, too, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
he did.
Still, you need the scheme.
Yep.
You need the X's and the O's and the Jimmies and the Joes.
He came out as one of the top defensive coordinators in the country, yes.
Don't tell me that this man doesn't know defensive football, guys, because he proved it there. This is what I know about Derek Mason. And JV, I think you agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good man.
Oh yeah, I think the world
and
of him.
And I know, I get it. I get it. Being a good guy doesn't win football games. I get it. But I'm thankful that I met this man. And wherever he lands on his feet, and he will land on his feet, I will be a fan of that team. And Derek Mason and I's relationship will carry on. Anchor down.
All right. Thanks, you, Clay.
Clay, appreciate it.
All right. Let's take a break.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide two enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser man, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
The holidays are alive and well with farm fresh Christmas trees now at the Home Depot and online at homedepot.com. Choose from a variety of trees specially selected for your region. Pick one out from our tree lot or get free delivery when you order online. Either way, you can't pick a better way to let the holidays begin. Holiday decorating improved. Farm fresh Christmas trees to pick up or delivered free from homedepot.com. How doers get more done. Selection and price vary by store. See store for details.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR, Skyscan forecast. For the daytime hours, expect the possibility of a shower with thunderstorm. Mostly cloudy skies. Your high, 68 degrees. For the nighttime on Wednesday, a possible shower through the midnight hour. Expect cloudy skies, low 46. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR's Jimmy O'Neill.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Got a very, very short, like a 60-second segment right here. So, Eric, you know, we can't. There's no way we're going to edit Eric.
Eric can't get his takes in 60 seconds.
And Mike in Brooklyn, we appreciate it. What we're going to do, we're just going to have a minute here. You'll hear the music. Top of the hour news. We're going to get to you. You can hang on or call back, and we'll get you into the order. But we just don't want to put you on right now.
We don't want to cut anybody off.
Yeah. Well, not always.
Well, it depends, right?
Yeah. So in the meantime, let me tell you about Sonny Briggs Twin Willows Realty, reminding listeners that the holiday season is here and there are countless needy and underprivileged children right here in our own community who will not be receiving a gift. Please be a guardian angel and help a child in need. Donate a toy to your local USMC drop box located at schools, grocery stores, and churches. You can put a smile on a child's face this holiday season. This message brought to you by Sonia Briggs Twin Willows Realty, serving the area with quality and pride. Are you in the market for buying or selling? Call Sonny Briggs Twin Willows Realty at 615-423-0900. 615-423-0900. And of course, we're going to keep promoting things like this all the way through.
It is the season.
If you can help help kids. See there? I told you the music was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Right. Eric, Mike in Brooklyn. Anybody else wants to call, please do.
615-842-3609. PDQ.
Greensboro.
On air and online, Sports Radio WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Drug company Moderna getting set to ask for emergency use of its coronavirus vaccine. ABC's Matt Gutman says that means it could soon be distributed to frontline workers.
As for Pfizer's vaccine, while doctors are not allowed to administer it yet, sources tell us this morning United Airlines started shipping it through charter flights to get them in place for distribution in anticipation of Pfizer getting that emergency approval.
As millions of Americans head back to work after a Thanksgiving holiday in which many of them traveled, need for testing is ramping up. Unfortunately, there aren't enough tests to go around.
We haven't built the kind of testing capacity in our country where anybody who needs to be able to get a test can get one. We just don't have that kind of testing capacity. We've just never built it.
Brown University School of Public Health Dean Dr. Ashish Jha. President-elect Joe Biden will likely be wearing a walking boot for several weeks. He suffered a hairline fracture while playing with one of his dogs. This is ABC News.
I'm one of thousands of women with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC,
which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body.
I'm living in the moment and taking Ibrance palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy.
Be in your moment. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com.
Patients taking Ibrance can develop low white blood cell counts, which may cause serious infections that can lead to death. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs that can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to become pregnant. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Need the perfect gift for the NFL fan in your life? Go to NFLShop.com and save big on your favorite player's jersey, personalized apparel, or a new hat to wear on game day. With huge savings all week long, NFLShop.com has you covered. With the most up-to-date assortment for all 32 teams, including face coverings, you'll choose from the largest NFL selection anywhere. NFL Shop is the destination for Cyber Week steals on NFL gifts, from jerseys, tees, hats, and more. Head to NFLShop.com today. These savings won't last long.
from the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex. Welcome back to the Greg Bogue and John Burton Show. Call now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. Now, here's Greg Bogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
It is hour number two. Greg Bogue, John Burton, Crazy Charlie with a day off. Ray Dosky producing, John.
Ray Dosky!
Indeed. Tomorrow morning, history will be made.
Yeah, man.
The first in mine, we will be preempted with a college football game tomorrow morning, 8:30 pregame, 9:30 kickoff, WKU at Charlotte in the Conference USA.
So when you're waking up or if you're getting to work and you flick it on, it's not a rerun from the weekend. That's a live football game.
That's 2020, man. 2020.
Yeah, that's going to be a live college football game, and then tomorrow night you'll have a live NFL game. So
yeah, Steelers Ravens.
It's football Tuesday.
2020 going out strong.
Exactly.
All right, we got some people that held through the break, and we appreciate it. We'll get to you in the order that you got to us. There's some lines open as well. 615-844-5600. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Greg, and I just want you to know, Kenny the Mailman is listening. The reason he's not calling in is because he's working. That's why.
Yeah, he called last week, man.
Yeah, he did. It was good to hear from Kenny. How you doing, Eric?
Oh, yeah, doing pretty good, John, doing pretty good. I'm going to get to NFL in a minute. Just one real quick thing about the Vanderbilt. I do feel sorry for guys like Clay and Vandy Lance, and especially George, who's a big Vanderbilt fan, and Kenny, because they're all Vanderbilt
Jimmy fans. Wyatt, just friend of show from TitansOnline.com.
That have to deal with all the stuff that they're having to deal with. It's just, it's sad, you know. Maybe Fisher would bring some spark person out of the job, but I just really don't know if they'd be willing to do what's necessary to help him as far as recruiting all the stuff that he needs to do with that program. Would he really want the job, knowing if he found that insight, what you got to do? Because I've heard about some of the stuff that goes on there, too. So I, if I was him, I really don't know if I'd really want to do that. But if you're willing to go through that and do that, then desperate,
careful,
I guess
what you wish for.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm wanting to. I don't know. I can't prove it. I wouldn't be surprised if Vanderbilt did take Eric Mason before that this game that he might not be back, but who knows. But anyway, on to the NFL, guys. First of all, I think Patrick Mahomes proved yesterday he's the MVP. I mean, you heard Josh Allen early. You're also hearing Tom Brady's son, Aaron Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. But
what about Roethlisberger?
You've heard about him a little bit. You even heard just a little bit sprinkle of Tannehill, but I think it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, unless he just completely just bombs out, which I don't think he will. I think he's the MVP. Just one performance yesterday, and also Tyreek Hill. They just really just embarrassed.
You have 200 yards receiving in the first half?
Yeah.
Like, jeez, oh, man.
Yesterday, he could, if they'd want to, he could have probably had over 300 yards.
Yep. Yeah, he could have broke the record yesterday. If Vrabel wanted to be a Richard about it, he could have just kept giving them the ball. But
yeah, and it was bad that he did that little backflip. It kind of was just an
oh man, that was great. Come on, what are you talking about? But if he'd smashed his ankle on that, and Andy Reid, I'd have killed him.
Yeah, 13 catches, 269 yards.
Yeah,
you're right, guys. And I'll tell you what, guys, it would have been interesting if Denver had a better record than his. They had two winning records. Would they have made them play that game yesterday? I've heard mixed reactions. Some said they shouldn't have played that game yesterday. Others said, well, if the players and people didn't follow the protocol, then they got what deserved.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little bit of a punishment for not following the protocols, from what I understand, because they basically told the league, listen, if you just push it back to Monday – we can get we can get at least one of our quarterbacks healthy enough to play. Yeah. And I think the league was like, nah, you know what? You're gonna pay for this. We're gonna make an example out of you. And so they had wide receivers play. What, they complete one pass in the game or something like that?
Yeah, it was more interceptions than completed passes. This guy was basically brought off the field. He was like a salesman where he sold like candy to schools where they did all that high school stuff where it's candy to schools. That's, you know, but you feel for him.
Yeah.
And also, of course, we got the game tomorrow night, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Even though Baltimore may benefit somewhat from this, but I really feel bad for the Steelers because they got a Tuesday night game, and then they're going to be playing Sunday against the Washington football team, who have had 10 days off.
Well, let me tell you what, though. I've been thinking about it. Don't be surprised. If there are Tuesday night football games in the NFL future, you know, everybody talks about, well, the short week Tuesday to Sunday. It's actually one day longer than the Sunday to Thursday that a lot of teams have to do right now. You get one extra day's rest for a Tuesday following Sunday turnaround.
And the NFL's greedy. They want ratings and they want money. Yep. So.
Yeah, if it's successful, they probably will do that. And now, guys, on to the Titans. Guys, I tell you what, I was surprised too, John, because I really thought that the Colts were going to win this game yesterday. Of course, they went for it again on fourth down once, but that was the only time they did. And it looked like it was going to be a shootout, 14-14 early. But Derek Henry was a beast. And like you said, he could have had 200 yards rushing yesterday. And I love the way the game ended where A.J. Brown had that big hop catch where he just ran it in for a touchdown. You know, that was great on that onside kick. But certainly the game plan, they came out great in the defense. I tell you what, 5-for-12 on third down, that's what I was real happy to see. And they therefore were able to put some pressure on Philip Rivers. Some people say, well, the Colts had defensive players out. And sure they did. But, hey, guys, we were banged up too in their first game.
Colts lost their left tackle in this game early, too. That didn't help.
And we were still playing with backup tackles with the way, I guess, Quisenberry.
I tell you what, Quisenberry.
He played very well. It was his first NFL start. Yeah. He was kind of emotional afterwards. That guy's been through a lot. Yeah. The guy beat cancer. And,
well,
you know.
And having Saffold back over there helped too.
Sure.
Nate Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, they Ben Jones all the way. That front line. And of course, you're going, against two less of their front. Yeah. But
right. They lost Costanzo, their LT, in the first quarter.
Did Tannehill get sacked yesterday or did he not?
I think he did once, didn't
he? Might have, yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, he did once, but it was called back because of a penalty.
All right, yeah, I remember him going down.
And I've heard somebody else yesterday make this point, too. Not only they can run it, but both A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, the way they're playing, if this offense can really come to Dale, I mean, just wouldn't that be something? You just hope defensively they can get better. Whether or not we'll get Adoree Jackson back for the end of this year, I don't know. But I was just real excited and just great about the win yesterday. Guys, I'll let you get some other calls. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Eric. Let's go to Brooklyn, 615-844.
Brooklyn's in the house.
This isn't Brooklyn, Tennessee.
It's Brooklyn, Michigan, or Brooklyn, Ohio.
Uh-huh. Mike.
Yeah, how are you guys?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mikey?
I'm a big Titan fan. I was a Oiler fan. I used to get Oiler News, big Eddie George fan.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Titans. It's amazing what they're doing this year. I'm so happy that I'm not that happy that the Jets think, because my dad liked them, but... Mm-hmm. The Giants, that's all they talk about over here, and the Tennessee is just unbelievable with Henry, and how, and another thing is how with, if I know you guys follow it, look at their draft picks this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all no good, you know what I'm saying? They're all like problems, you know, with the tackle.
Yeah, I'm not ready to give up on Isaiah Wilson yet. I mean, he's had a rough go of it, but I still think, you know, in a normal year, once he gets his feet under him, he'll be okay. But we'll see.
Yeah, but to his point, a first-round draft pick shouldn't be a project.
You're right, you're right.
And he's still
a
project.
And we felt that way on draft night, too.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, look at the guys they picked up. Like, Beasley didn't do anything.
Nothing.
He was a mess from the beginning. And then... Also, they got Clowney. He tried, but then he gets hurt. I mean, my opinion, I know he makes plays sometimes, but that guy is the most overrated defensive end that I've seen in a long time. Seriously, do you guys agree with me?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for, Mike. I mean, I tend to agree with you, but a lot of times we look at sacks, right? Sacks, sacks, sacks. You're from New York. Lawrence Taylor was there, you know, and
yeah, he's agree. He's
yeah,
agree.
Right. It's all about sacks, but when Clowney's going good, he can be disruptive in terms of batting down passes, pressuring the quarterback. But you're right. He hasn't had a lot of production from the sack department. But I think a lot of people were thinking, well, teams are going to try to double team him. So that'll free up Landry. That'll free up Roberson, Beasley, whoever. It just hasn't happened. But Landry, it looks like he's starting to heat up a little bit. But yeah, I would say Clowney's a little overrated. I my flags went up all summer, you know, with the Titans' pursuit of him, because I just didn't feel like this guy, you know, was the juice was worth the squeeze. And so far, it really hasn't been.
You know, but you point out all the things that haven't worked. But where I give kudos, and we've talked about this before, to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and the position coaches, they're putting people out on the field I've never even heard of.
I know.
Breon
really like
Borders.
Dwayne had a couple of catches yesterday at tight end.
A tight end. Jeff Swaim. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. Three catches, 30 yards.
Yeah. Nick Zubner.
Yeah.
I mean,
DeZoomed her.
You DeZoomed a Tierre Tart.
Yeah.
I mean, help me, Breon Borders.
Desmond King. Where did he come from? He's been playing with this Borders guy.
He was an undrafted free agent. He bounced around the league for 4 years, and he caught on here. And due to injuries and other circumstances, he became a starter, and he's playing really well. Should have had a pick six yesterday.
Hell, Will Compton. I mean, for Jayon Brown,
friend of show, by the way, he's been on our show.
I got a quick question for you guys. Like, I don't know, Clay Matthews, right? He was supposed to sign like with the, I think the Seahawks or something, but it was like too much money. Do you think that he just wasn't good anymore, or do you think that it was about the money?
Because
he was good last year until he broke his jaw with the Rams. You know.
You know what, Mike? I heard his sister being interviewed last week because they're trying to get their father, Clay Matthews Jr. The Clay Matthews you're talking about is Clay Matthews III. They're trying to get, you know, their father into the Hall of Fame. So his, and she mentioned that Clay's been working out and he looks good and, you know, he's in great shape. And I think it's one of those things, if the right situation came along, he would come back and play. He's keeping himself ready, but so far the situation just hasn't happened yet. He would be a situational player at best at this far along with his age and his career, but you know, he could still get after the quarterback. So.
But if anybody brings him in, he's still going to go through COVID protocol.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You still think that there's a possibility that someone might sign him like now?
Sure.
In this season? Yeah.
Sure. Why not? Anything's possible.
Yeah, we're only 5 games left in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, get him at the right time. Get him, you know, just have be a situational guy, like I said.
Well, you don't know who may go down. You don't know. If a team needs a pass rusher, you know.
From what I understand, you know, like hearing his sister talk on an interview last week, he's staying ready. He's in shape. He's ready to go if he wants to play and if the right situation comes along.
That would be a boost. They could use an extra guy like him. You know, they picked up Desmond King. He's been pretty well too, right? Desmond King looks like he picked up a good spot. And Corey Davis been playing good all year, but it's an emotional year for that guy. I mean, that's terrible. Yeah.
And he's supposed to be a free agent next year.
Yep.
So we'll see.
And then the thing with his brother, he's probably playing for his brother. That catch that he made at the end of the first half was unbelievable. No.
Yeah. He's playing really well. Him and Brown are making a nice 1-2 punch at the receiver position there.
Yeah, if they could get a little more. Too bad that guy Darren Sheen Evans never played. He's always hurt. You know, maybe he could have been a little spark, you know?
Yeah.
But well, and then you also Adam Humphries. You know what I mean? You know.
He's an animal. Yep. If he ever learned how to catch the ball out of the backfield, which you see that he's doing a little bit, if he really gets better at that, oh my God. You know what I mean?
He's been working hard on it. I can tell you that.
His ability to block on third down
is
more of the reason why he's not in there. In pass protection.
Oh. And you think Eddie George had any like thing with his career, or you think that's just bull crap?
Both guys have said that, you know, they had conversations, and Derek's a little reluctant to talk about it, but he has said that, you know, the talks that he's had with Eddie George has really helped him, and Eddie George has gone on record saying, you know, I told him, you know, you gotta run like a big man, get the dirty yards. So it's working.
Those two backs are great, but Eddie George is what a great back Eddie George was. I remember going to a playoff game and they lost with Ray Lewis. They lost the game when Ray Lewis took away the ball in the playoff game. And then I remember going to a Baltimore Raven game and I waved to him and it looked like he waved back because I went out there when I was younger, when I was 30, and I wound up seeing them play the Jaguars in Nashville when they were the Tennessee Oilers. And I went to like the training camp and I met the guys. I got autographs. They were very, they were very nice to me. Eddie George, Bruce Matthews. So I always root for the Titans and the Oilers, you know?
Well, hey, Mike, you're always welcome to call.
Yeah, thanks
please
for calling, Mike.
I will. What are you guys there? Thank you for letting me speak. These people in Brooklyn are awful. All they do is talk about the Giants. To see that Logan Ryan is on the Giants, it makes me nauseous. I was rooting for the Bengals so hard, but don't worry, the Giants.
You're talking to a Giants
anyway.
Fan, brother. Come on, man.
Alex Smith, you know what I mean?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
you, man. Wait a couple of more years. Like, they can have their Super Bowls. At least my team's on the rise. My team always fights back. We never give up. Remember that. We always fight back. We always got a great chance.
Yep. Yeah, we're on your time every Monday through Friday, 10 to noon, so check us
out. Okay, so I'm gonna call you guys and say hello once in a while.
Please do, Mikey.
Yep.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, by the way, you've got a kindred spirit named Sal in Jersey.
That's right.
Yeah.
The great Sal in Jersey, friend of show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike.
He's a big fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Same deal.
Yeah, if there's ever a time that I could send you guys some pictures and stuff, let me know. I got a tattoo with the Titan logo on my right arm, and I got the Oilers on the left, and I got a picture of Eddie George, Bruce Matthews, Perry Phoenix. How you doing?
Yeah. hey, send us no body parts. No body parts, okay?
What'd you say?
No body parts. We're good.
What about Josh Evans?
If you got a tattoo of Perry Phoenix on you, I worry about you.
No, tattoo of the Titans logo and the Oilers logo.
Okay.
Nice, buddy. All right. Appreciate you, Mikey.
No, but I met Josh Evans. Is he doing better? He was really sick.
Yeah, he was sick. I don't know.
Yeah, he's hanging in. Yeah, he's
I always try to look on the phone and never gives me an update.
Say a prayer, man.
I will. No problem. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Mikey. All right.
Tighten up, baby. Let's go.
All right.
Couldn't tell. He was from Brooklyn.
Mikey in Brooklyn. I like him, man. I
loved it.
That's great. All they talk about here is the Giants. They stink. The Jets, they stink.
What are we doing over here?
What are we doing over here? How you doing? Forget about it. He knows a couple guys. He knows where you can get a good Coke and a slice.
bringing up slice. Perry Phoenix, though. Oh, my gosh.
They said, don't say so. Perry they said Welch's. Give me a Welch's.
Yeah, give me a Welch's.
Give me a Welch's.
Give me. I'll take a Coke and a slice.
You done?
For now.
Okay. Well, for now. And Nick Butcher Realty, reminding listeners that the holiday season is here. There are countless needy and underprivileged children right here in our own community who will not be receiving a gift. That's tough, man. Be a guardian angel and help a child in need. Visit your local USMC drop box and donate generously. You can put a smile on a child's face this holiday season. These boxes are at churches, schools, grocery stores. This message brought to you by Nick Butcher Realty. Folks, if you're in the market for buying, renting, or selling, call Nick Butcher Realty today. 615-484-0109. 615-484-0109. He's a professional who obviously cares. Coming up after the break from the Associated Press, if Ray's got her number, Teresa Walker.
Hey, this is Jack Gentry from the George Plaster Show, and if you're looking for gift ideas for this upcoming holiday season, look no further than my friend Colby Gaddis with the Gaddis Vault.
Hey guys, my name is Colby Gaddis, and I'm here to tell you about the Gaddis Vault. It's a business that I began over this quarantine season. I have the opportunity to bring you guys custom fine jewelry at 60% off of the retail prices. And why is it that we can do it that way? We do everything privately. I've seen the markups on diamonds at your average brick and mortar store, and that's why I set out to do things differently. You can message my team on Facebook or Instagram with an idea of what you're looking for, and I promise that we'll take care of everything. Better yet, if you already have found the perfect piece, engagement ring, wedding band, diamond necklace that you found somewhere else, I guarantee that we can make the same thing for less. We also have some of our own products available now that you can find on our pages that would make for the perfect gift for your significant other this Christmas season. Again, my name is Colby Gaddis with Gaddis Vault. That's G-A-D-D-I-S Vault, and let me be your diamond guy.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For today, expect a possible rain shower. There'll be a slight chance of snow in the afternoon. Cloudy skies, your high 39 degrees. Little or no snow accumulation will be expected. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jimmy O'Neill.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Craig Boat, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Crazy Charlie with the morning off. Ray Dosky producing.
Ray Dosky.
We got to get Greg to say it.
He won't.
I did. Ray Dosky.
Yeah, he won't. He won't.
He won't do it. Won't.
No, I'm
because I hold myself to higher standards.
No, you know better than that.
Because
you know better than me. I'm holding on with my voice is what I'm holding on to right now. By the way, if you turn us on tomorrow morning, you're not going to get us.
Yep.
The first time I know of in this market, we will be preempted by a live college football game.
Yep.
Tomorrow morning, 8:30 pregame, 9:30 kickoff. WKU at Charlotte on, and you can watch it on CBS Sports Network as well.
That's right. It's an actual live football game. It's not a rerun from the weekend.
You can actually go to FanDuel and bet on a morning college football game.
Yep. While you're having your breakfast.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we'll be doing tomorrow morning. Hey, joining us right now, as she does most Monday mornings, except the last two, Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Hey, Teresa, how you doing?
I am good, and we're back on Mondays. I appreciate your patience and flexibility, but we're back, and we've got a few things to talk about, don't we?
Well, first of all, how's Mom?
Mom's doing better.
Good.
She's recovering. You know, she's motoring. I mean, once they took the brakes off of her, she's been motoring around. We have to kind of make her sit down. It's like, Mom, you broke your hip. That's why you hurt. Sit down. We're trying to run.
Put a governor on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Bless her heart.
I need to put that or something. You know, maybe Talladega will lend me a restrictor plate.
All right, let's start in Indy. Titans 45, Colts 26. And, you know, you looked at that stretch, Indy home at Baltimore at Indy. If you said, well, they're going to go 2-1, you don't think that they would have lost the home game and then won the next two, really.
Well, but it doesn't matter how it happens. What mm-hmm. matters is they did go 2-1 in that stretch, and now they're back at top. I mean, it may be in a more impressive fashion. Think about this. You know, they go into Baltimore, and yes, we know what's happened since then with all the COVID positives, et cetera, but a win in Baltimore plays against a franchise that has just been the bugaboo of the Titans for, you know, almost as long as the Colts have, actually. And they go in and get a big win and come from behind, and then they go into Indy and just took control of that game from the start. They knew what they were going to do. They knew they were going to run. Derrick Henry, I mean, he touched the ball 6 of the first 10 plays on offense and just finished off that drive. And guys, Mike Vrabel, you know, right before the half, you know, let's remember, they took a 17-13 lead into the half on that Thursday night game here against the Colts, and the third quarter exploded. He's got a chance to add more points, and he pulls the punt team off, takes a timeout, sends them back out there on 4th and 4. You know, Frank Wright was going for 4th downs, like, left and right here in Nashville, and he goes for it. They make a 37-yard connection to Corey Davis. Boom, touchdown on the next play. 35-14 going into the half. Kind of set a little bit of a message and a tone, I think, that, you know, when they're up, they're not going to ease back. They knew how dangerous the Colts had been in the second half, and now they've got back-to-back wins on the road, big confidence boost. The offense is clicking as well as we've seen them since the you know, start of the season, when they had 4 straight games scoring, you know, at least 31 points. And now they've got the Cleveland Browns coming in here. And think about this. With 5 games left, they've got 5 chances to not just match the 9-7 record that they've been stuck on the past 4 years, but get over that. And, guys, in the AFC this year, if you're going to hold on to your seating and stay on top of the AFC South, you got to keep winning. So I'm curious to see where they take it from here.
Yeah, it's funny, T, because that's one of the first things Mike Vrabel said after last year ended. Hey, we got to win our division and get some home playoff games here, you know, in our home stadium. I mean, now that they've reestablished themselves in this division, you kind of hit on it, and it's kind of an obvious question, but how important is it going to be for them to, you know, finish strong, make sure that they win this division and get a home playoff game, at least one?
Crucial. I mean, that's been the number one goal since they lost in Kansas City last year. Let's not forget, you know, they ended the season at Houston and then had to go to New England and then to Baltimore and then to Kansas City. Guys, that kind of travel, I don't care how well you do it, especially when you're playing really physical football, it takes a toll on you and it just wears at a certain point.
T, I went on all four of those trips myself and I wasn't even playing and I was wore out. So I can only imagine what being a player was. That stretch took years off my life. So I know whereof you speak.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Now they have a chance to make sure, and they end the season again in Houston. So, you know, the ability to make sure that they can come back and not have to pack up and travel for at least 1 week is going to be absolutely huge here. And, you know, that's the thing. That's the opportunity they have. Take care of the two home games that you've got left, Cleveland, Detroit. You would think on paper Detroit should be a win. Jacksonville is mixed in there. And then, oh yeah, the Texans who are playing much, much better under Romeo Crennel. But, you know, and then that Sunday nighter at Green Bay, you know, there is opportunity here for them to maybe get to 12-4 if they do things right.
T, I've killed this defense all year. But, you know, I got to say I was impressed at, you know, the first two drives of yesterday's game notwithstanding. I mean, and the way they finished the game against Baltimore last week, I mean, this is the kind of complimentary football Mike Vrabel craves. And if they can play the way that they played yesterday from an offense, defense, and special teams standpoint, I know you'd agree. There ain't a team in this league they can't beat.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. While the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes and we've seen, you know, Aaron Rodgers with the Packers, and Big Ben with Pittsburgh, let's face it, when the offense is clicking and when Derrick Henry is running, I mean, yes, the Colts were missing some people on defense. Well, you know, in case you didn't notice, the Titans were down to their third different left tackle. You know, Saffold, Kelly, Ben Jones, all dealing with injuries. So it's not like they were at prime strength. And they went out there and Derrick Henry had some holes to run through. I mean, they looked like highways at times with some of the early two in that game. You know, the fact that he had, you know, so many yards, you know, he had a game in just the first half. So that was part of that offensive line doing its work. But that offense just seems to, you know, be clicking with some confidence right now. And they allowed the defense to rest. You know, that complimentary football, yes, the defense was really good on third down yesterday. They got a turnover. They got their hands on two other passes. They could have had picks on. You know, they got a sack of Phillip Rivers when it counted and then a late one by Harold Landry on Brissett. But, you know, they allowed that defense to not have to be out there for full 30 minutes and, you know, kind of wearing them a bit thin because they've got their injuries too that they're dealing with. So, you know, that they helped each other out there. And if that offense can go out there and just move up and down the field the way they did yesterday, of course, they have a chance against anybody, especially, you know, guys with this coaching staff. I think we've got to give some nods to, you know, to Mike Vrabel and what they're doing. It's been, as you mentioned, piling on that defense. Well, they don't have a coordinator. Well, they found a way to put players in position. David Long just came off the reserve COVID list, and I think he had the most snaps that he's had on defense on Sunday. You know, tag teaming a bit with Will Compton to replace Jayon Brown. So, you know, they're doing the things with people. Breon Borders, you know, he's a guy with an incredible backstory who, you know, he had a whole bunch of plays on Sunday. So
should have had a pick six, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and he had a pick. So it's fun to watch what they're doing and pulling these people. You win late in the season when you're able to replace injured players and get pieces into place and get them up to speed quickly. Not easy in a pandemic where before you can even talk to them, they've got to pass all the testing protocols. I mean, look at Desmond King. You know, he played a game without even practicing with his new teammates, and he just seems to be getting better. And, you know, this can be a fun team to watch. But they're back up to sixth in the NFL on scoring, and that's after a stretch of, what, three or four games where, you know, the offense was just not pulling its weight.
Also want to mention the return of Brett Kern, all four of his punts inside the 20. Each team on its first two possessions, touchdowns. And you go, well, who's going to hold serve? Well, the Colts had a defensive stand, got off the field, and then the punt to the 12-yard line totally flipped the field, totally set up. Of course, the Titans scored, what, touchdowns on five of their first six possessions. Mm-hmm. But just having him back as that weapon at that moment, you know, it's still 14-14. The flipping of the field, giving the offense that short field, and after that, the Colts having to play from behind, and the Titans, what they do best is playing with a lead.
Absolutely. Even in the dome there at Indianapolis with the roof closed, you know, conditions that, you know, that's what they thrive on, is getting that lead and being able to, you know, shoot. They did it whether it was Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning or Dan Orlovsky at quarterback, and this time the Titans flipped the script on them.
Teresa Walker is our guest from the Associated Press, at Teresa M. Walker on the Twitter. All right, you mentioned the Browns coming in. You know, they held on and beat a bad Jaguars team, but they are 8-3. And, you know, they're doing it with some inconsistent play from Baker Mayfield, their quarterback. But, boy, you think the Titans like to run the ball. How about that 1-2 punch of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb for the Cleveland Browns, T? It kind of reminds me, I think we're all old enough to remember Mack and Biner from the old Bernie Kosar days with the Cleveland Browns. They're getting it done on the ground.
Well, hey, think back to this team when they had Lendale White and Chris Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are getting it done on the ground, and that's the thing. This Titans run defense is going to be tested. You know, they held the Colts to 56 yards. Well, they didn't have Jonathan Taylor. You know, Marlon Mack, you know, he's been out for them for a long time. So it's going to be a real test for the Titans on run defense this week to make sure that they can slow those guys down. But again, you know, when you've got Derrick Henry, he's kind of your, you know, best weapon at that point. Go out and wear them down and make them play catch up. So I'm looking forward to this showdown between these two running backs. That said, I mean, you know, Derrick Henry's got the longer track record at this point.
Teresa, let's change gears over in West End. Vanderbilt fires Derek Mason's seventh season, 27-55. The 27 wins makes him the sixth winningest coach in program history.
So he's got that going for him.
Curious that maybe they did it now and didn't wait to the end of the season. This is an un-Vandy-like thing. New AD, new chancellor, just some thoughts.
Well, I'll say this. I've seen the chancellor at two football games this year. I missed the Ole Miss game and the Florida game for personal reasons, but, you know, the chancellor was around taking a look, close look and being present at football games. He even swung by the press box. So, you know, and then Candace Lee. I mean, you know, we've been waiting to see what they were going to do. And, you know, I know a lot of the attention this weekend was on Sarah Fuller making history. Absolutely. But it couldn't hide the fact that they couldn't even give her a chance at an extra point.
Yeah.
You know, they barely got across midfield. I mean, the offense that had looked so promising just fell apart. Five of their eight losses, guys, by more than double digits, okay? And it kind of makes that loss, you know, the five-point loss at Texas A&M in the opener, just it seems so long ago. And, you know, with all the players that have been leaving this program this year, I think that they had to do something. And let's not forget, part of the reason I don't think they could wait to the end of the season is the end of the season, maybe they're playing on the 12th or the 19th as the SEC tries to wrap up their final games of the season. We're still waiting for them to say what they're going to do with the Tennessee game. We know they're playing at Georgia this week, but we're waiting to see their signing day. Guys, you just can't wait. The people who, you know, if you're going to make sure and try and get a good class or keep the guys that you have committed, they need to know who you're going with. And this buys them, you know, what, 17, 18 days. Signing day starts, I think, December 18th. This gives them time to get somebody hired and get them on the job so that recruits know who they've got before they, you know, start putting their name to paper.
Yeah, we had Chris Lee on in the first hour, and he brought up you know, good point. I mean, he had 7 years, you know, at Vanderbilt, and most, you know, Power Five major conferences, you give a guy 7 years and he doesn't produce a winning season. I mean, that's a lot of rope. In your mind, how should what's Derek Mason's legacy? How should he be remembered from his time at Vanderbilt? Because, you know, he came in where expectations were a little high after what James Franklin was able to do. How, in your mind, should Mace be remembered?
Well, he did accomplish some things. I mean, guys, he did go to two bowl games.
Yep.
And while they didn't win them, You know, I've been covering Frank Vanderbilt long enough to know that reaching a bowl, no matter how you did it, to win six games at Vanderbilt in a season and do it at least twice, that took something to do. I mean, Bobby Johnson, as much as people remember him fondly, he had one bowl appearance. You know, the Music City Bowl, where his punter was the MVP of the game. And, you know, Derek Mason got to two bowl games. It's just that, in the hindsight of what we saw James Franklin do, it just seems to pale in comparison since then. But, you know, for Vanderbilt, he did a decent job. It's just, yes, expectations were raised. You know, the best thing besides the two bowl appearances, you know, the wins over over Tennessee. And let's face it, Tennessee is not what Tennessee has been. You know, but it is still nice to have, you know, the line I stuck in my story yesterday. You know, the first Vanderbilt coach to beat Tennessee three times since the 1920s. Mm. That does not go away. But with all the issues that they've had with, you know, he changed coordinators so many times. You know, when he didn't have Kyle Shurmur, it was quarterback roulette at times. You know, that was one good thing, you know, that he stuck with Ken Seals, you know, all season long, even though they did mix in some Mike Wright down near the red zone area. But, you know, it's just he for Vanderbilt, he did a good job. It's just that, you know, let's face it, we're still waiting for Vanderbilt to put more resources into its football program. And that's the, you know, no matter who they hire, you know, no matter who Candace Lee hires, that's going to be, we're still waiting for that other shoe to drop. Let's not forget, the stadium hasn't been touched essentially, except for a couple of, you know, little teeny tucks here and there since 1981. It's unheard of in the SEC. There's not another program that has not done something to their football stadium, you know, of substance in that time. So, you know, we're going to wait and see what they actually do. We see all the building going around on campus. We just haven't seen much of it when it comes to athletics.
Yeah, sort of like putting lipstick on a pig is what they've been doing over there. Where did they head? You know, the sexy pick, Jeff Fisher, that's going to be fun to even have thrown out there. There's a lot of candidates. I know that Chris Lee gave us Jamie Chadwell, Coastal Carolina, Will Healy, Charlotte. Of course, we know him from his Austin Peay days. Clark Lee, the Notre Dame offensive coordinator with Vanderbilt ties. What do you think? I don't, you know, you're talking about getting that coach in place for the early signing period. If I'm that coach, you, in the next 17 days, you're not going to be able to tell me everything I need to know for me to leave any job to come to this one. I've got to have something concrete in place about what you're going to do with your facilities. I mean, if no coach is going to come here and fight that bear with a switch unless they're really just all of a sudden wanting to be an FBS coach. And, well, obviously it'll pay a couple million, whatever it pays, yeah. But still.
Right. But you're right. You don't want to go into that, you know, that gunfight with a knife.
Because
you know?
All of those coaches are also being projected for other jobs, sure, as well. So it's going to be interesting.
Greg, absolutely, and that's the thing. I would, if I'm interviewing with them, I want to know what their plans are. We saw them hire and you know, add some people to the staff to help Candace. You know, I can't remember his name right now. I'm blanking. The guy they brought from Louisiana Tech to work on fundraising specifically for athletics. So, you know, they've got pieces in place. They should. Lord knows they've got enough plans that have been floating around over there over the last couple of decades. They should have some stuff that they can show them. We know the football locker room is going to be renovated as soon as the season's over. They hope to have that done by next summer at the latest. So, you know, there's one project on tap. But, yeah, the stadium is the big gorilla that hasn't been touched. You know, it's hulking, it's aging, it's just not a place. I mean, I've heard high school stadium references in connection with that stadium for far too long. And honestly, I've been at better high school stadiums. So, you know, a coach is going to want to know what's going to happen before they make a commitment. Vanderbilt's going to need to be ready to pitch themselves as much as they offer a job.
Teresa Walker, follow on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. Thank you, Teresa. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Greg and John.
All right. Hey, we're wide open to the top of the hour. You want to give us a call, please do. Lot to talk about. Certainly the Titans' big win yesterday, Vanderbilt. With that decision, you call us 615-844-5600.
FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee. Now, here's the thing. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. Now, you can bet high without the worry. It's a very smart bet. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, use the promo code FRANKS to take advantage of this great opportunity.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman Alligator Oil. Cayman Oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman Oil can help you say see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say see you later, alligator, with Cayman Alligator Oil at mycayman.com. That's my, C-A-I-M-O-N.com. mycayman.com.
Located on the fourth floor of the Omni Nashville Hotel, Mokara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relaxing comfort of the signature Mokara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa day. Make time for a soothing facial, manicure, or pedicure as you rejuvenate in this refined, quiet oasis. Give her the gift of relaxation. Call or stop by Mokara Salon and Spa for your holiday gift cards. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Mokara Salon and Spa.
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor, with Black Friday prices inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees starting at just $39.98, or outside lights and playful inflatables to bring joy to the neighborhood. Order online and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with a wide assortment of holiday decor from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping on most online orders over $45. Some exclusions apply while supplies last.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kyle Larson continues his winning ways here in the offseason on the dirt. AJ Allmendinger will be back at Kolig Racing. And what's the status of Eldora Speedway and the Truck Series? That and more. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
Sports Radio, WNSR. 615-844-5600 if you want to give us a call. Can you see our thing? There's somebody calling, and there's and it's halfway covered, our monitor. Why do we even have a monitor if we can't use it,
wow.
John?
You're being really mean right now.
To Ray Dosky?
To Ray Dosky!
he's a big boy. He can take it. Obviously, Titans, the Colts win, Vandy firing Derek Mason.
Mm-hmm. Nashville SC season coming to an end. Congratulations to them.
News.
I got to go back and watch that game, actually.
It was really good. And man, it was just 0-0 for so long.
Bro, I was.
Or nil-nil.
I mean, I was driving through a driving rainstorm back from Indianapolis, you know, drinking diet soda, trying to stay awake. So, unfortunately, I didn't see the SC game last night.
Vanderbilt men's basketball just sending out a press release that they've shut down basketball operations because of positive COVID test within the program. They opened with Valpo. They had already come out even before this yesterday, announced that they would not be participating in the Legends Classic up in Connecticut. They were supposed to play UConn tomorrow and either Thursday BYU or Southern Cal. So that's been stopped. And also, congratulations to Rick Bird.
Yes.
College Basketball Hall of Fame, already in the Naismith Hall of Fame, but will be inducted in the College Basketball Hall of Fame in November 2021. I saw the interview with Steve Lehman last night. Because of COVID, he had known about this for like 6 months. And the news just finally came out yesterday. Let's get a call. I watched the first half at Medley Fishing School's Fishing Lodge at Center Hill Dam, country ham, sweet potato fries.
Why are you doing this to me? I'm starving right now.
Just amazing. Fried apples,
okay.
Two over easy eggs.
Okay, are you done?
It was Rice's Country Ham out in Mount Juliet. Hillbilly, what's up, man?
Hillbilly.
Hey, brother. Hey, appreciate you coming down and visiting with me yesterday. Well, them Titans looked good, didn't they?
Yeah, that's probably their most complete game I've seen in a long time. They looked really good yesterday. Very impressed.
Well, I want to ask you, are you going to be on the bandwagon the rest of this year for them to get back to the playoffs?
Well, I think they're going to the playoffs. I mean, you know, my biggest gripe about this team was the defense. If they continue to improve, I said it the entire show. If they play like this and they play the type of defense they played yesterday, especially after the first two drives, they can beat. There isn't a team they can't beat. So.
Well, and it would be good if they're the 3 seed. They're probably not going to catch Kansas City. They're not going to catch the Steelers.
Right.
But to be that three seed, get that home game, get mm-hmm. that bye, and this game against the Browns, both are
well, they won't
three.
Get a bye, but they'll get a home game.
Right.
Only one team in each conference gets the bye.
This year, yeah, that's right. This year, because they're adding one extra team. Yeah. Right.
But I was very impressed by what I saw, Hillbilly, for sure.
I was too. Did you enjoy the goodies there?
Well, he hasn't yet. I have sent out an email to all the station people, including John, that there is now there's turkey jerky and some summer sausage.
No, that's deer jerky.
Turkey jerky. Deer jerky and summer sausage in the fridge. I cut it all up into individual packages because of COVID, and so they're individual for everybody here.
Yeah, thanks, Hillbilly. Appreciate it.
There you go. Well, hi, you guys. I love you bunches. Y'all do a good. You got a great show this morning, and I just want to let you know that all of y'all are invited to come down and visit with me anytime you want to. And whatever you do, take a kid fishing.
All right. Yeah, went up.
There you
and
go. I like that.
Thank you, Hillbilly. I went up and loaded up my freezer with deer meat and all kind of different things.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, judging by what it's doing outside, it's probably a good idea to stock up right now because it is cold and windy. I see a few snow flurries flying around.
Last weekend before this one,
mm-hmm.
I believe, the first weekend of deer gun season, which you can usually have muzzleload or archery or whatever, but the gun is just... You can take any gun out and shoot them with whatever you think you can kill them with. But obviously, you got to have a license and everything. How many deer, and Mike Oregon, who does everything, he writes outdoor stuff for mm-hmm. the. How many deer do you think were killed the first weekend of deer season in Tennessee? Did I ask you this?
No, I would have no idea.
What do you think? Just guess.
How many deer total in Middle Tennessee?
No, in the state of Tennessee.
In the state of Tennessee.
For that one weekend.
For one weekend.
One weekend.
I'm going to throw out a number, 150. I don't know. I have no idea.
70,000.
Okay. All right. Well, I was a little off. 70,000?
70,000 in this state.
That's a lot of venison, brother.
Yeah. And the processing plants are so backed up right now.
Yeah.
And that just shows you the amount that really needs to be harvested for it to be safe, right?
Yep, yep.
And so 70,000 that first weekend.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. We got a lot of deer.
A lot of deer.
Yeah. So let's take a break.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, with today's low rates, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. With a cash out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, you could consolidate and pay off high interest debt, tackle home improvements that could add value to your home, or even set aside cash for your child's future education. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can give you the technology to refinance easily and save money? Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick loans, internal data, points and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing letter, license in all 50 states, and NMLS consumeraccess.org, number
4330. Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For today, expect a possible rain shower. There'll be a slight chance of snow in the afternoon. Cloudy skies, your high 39 degrees. Little or no snow accumulation will be expected. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jimmy O'Neill.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Got a few more moments and then we're 88 out the gate. Adios, Kazoo. So you're watching the game and a you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, and you think, is that legal here in Tennessee? Well, you dang well it is. Bet it is. Go ahead and bet, man. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee. You can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back. If you don't win, seriously, no strings attached. Just play any bet you want. If you win, keep the cash. If you lose, you get another entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit, so you can take another shot at the end zone. On the house, and it's a risk-free bet and second chance. It's great for new bettors, and with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and these bet types such as same-game parlays where you can buy multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Claim your risk-free bet. Do this. Download that FanDuel Sports app and be sure to use the promo code Greg P. Greg P.
FanDuel. What's that promo code
again? It's Greg P, John B. Not John B. It's Greg P. FanDuel Sportsbook. You got to be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. You go to sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Monday Night Football tonight, not bad, you know, with the Seahawks at Philly.
Right. So I need the Seahawks to win so my Giants stay in first place in the NFC East. As Ray Doshky, Washington football team fan, shakes his head.
It's like a mixture of feelings.
I know, right? Because we take such pride in our division, right? From the glory years, and it's such an embarrassment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's bad. But hey, as they've been saying all year, somebody has to win that division. So why not us?
I see the Eagles winning tonight too, and just
I got a weird feeling Philly's going to win tonight. Yeah.
Wow. So anyway. They're getting 6.5 at home. Sunday night football.
Yeah, I didn't see any of it. I was driving through a torrential downpour, but the Packers pretty much took care of business. Yeah. How'd Trubisky look? Like Trubisky?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But, you know, they that offense is awful. You know,
Oh, we saw it, you know, a few weeks ago with Foles. I mean, there was just it was mind-boggling how bad their offense is.
You know, one thing we didn't get to today, coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days, three games each of the Blue Cross Bowl. How about that?
Yeah.
In Cookeville over in Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, we're excited about that as we wind down the high school football season. I believe this Friday will be the last episode of UPS Store Friday Night Football. So
Oakland beat Maryville like 50-7.
Wow.
Something. They just blew Maryville out. Yeah. So it's going to be Oakland and Brentwood for the Class 6A state championship Saturday night. Should be a good one. It all kicks off at 11 o'clock Thursday morning, the Division II Class AA, Lipscomb and CPA. So we'll be talking about that. Here's what we'll be doing tomorrow. If you're listening to this radio station, starting at 8:30 tomorrow morning, WKU at Charlotte pregame kickoff. I'm not making this up. 9:30 tomorrow morning, Conference USA football right here, WKU and Charlotte. And again, a very rare preemption of a morning radio show by a college football game.
Live college football
during
game.
The week on a Tuesday.
2020, y'all.
Yep. Hey, coming up this afternoon, George Plaster, Johnny Ballpark. Right after that, Bill King until 8:30 tomorrow morning. We'll be back here Wednesday morning. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening. Jim Rome next.